I want to start today in this message. My message today is titled Keys for Living a Full Christian Life. And some of these things you'll hear and you go, yeah, well, of course. But sometimes we need to rehear it. Maybe for some of you, this is the first time you'll hear some of these things. But I think sometimes we can go through our Christian walk and we can feel like we kind of hit a bit of a wall or hit a bit of a ceiling. And we need to be reminded about what we are called to be doing to live a full and healthy Christian life where we're growing and thriving. Who believes it's important? Yeah, it's really important. And so I want to keep it relatively simple today. If you've got a Bible today, get ready to use it, because that's where it's all coming from. If you've got your phone with your Bible on it, just disable every other app so you don't get distracted. And we're going to look at four or five points this morning, points that are really going to help us to thrive in our Christian walk. And these biblical points, they're for every believer, not just for some, but for all. And this Christian life that we're called to live it actively, not passively, not passively aggressively. We're called to live it actively for God, for the kingdom. It calls us to be transformed. It calls us to be renewed, amen. And so, keys for living a full, active Christian life. First one I've got for you this morning is this. Make God the Lord and center of your life. Make God the Lord and center of your life. Who believes that's important? It's really important because the Bible says that it is, amen. Let everything about your life revolve around Him. Don't be distracted. Don't be passive. Let it revolve around Him. Love, and it says this in Matthew 22, 37 and 38. And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God. You know, sometimes when we read scriptures like this, we interpret that word love with the way that we understand love. But the biblical understanding of love is so much greater than our earthly understanding. You know, this kind of love, it's all-encompassing, it's deep, it's an all-in love. It's not like the love that you have for a spouse, a children, or a pet. It's deeper, much deeper. You know, for those of us who have loved someone before, we know that when you love something, when you love someone, nothing can stop you from exclaiming your love. Maybe sometimes we utter those words a little bit too quickly early in the relationship, but nothing can stop us. Did that just come out of my mouth? See, but this kind of love involves your heart, your soul, and your mind. It is all of you, every part of you. And it's a commandment that God calls us to activate. See, what this type of love actually is worship. That's what this type of love is. It's worship. See, when you love God and He's the center of your life, your walk, everything about you, I just have to proclaim worship and adoration to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God Almighty. To the one who sanctified me, to the one who redeemed me, the one who saved me, I have to exclaim worship to Him. Is anyone in that place? This morning in worship, I could hear you singing, proclaiming your worship and adoration to Jesus. That's making Jesus the center of your life, amen. So some of you say, I really need to do that. You did it this morning. It's not something that you need to like kick into. You've already started. You're already doing it. So that first key to living a full, active Christian life, make God the Lord of your life and worship Him with your life. Every part of it. Number two, ready for a challenging one? So I thought the first one was. Number two, learn to love His family. You want to have a full, thriving Christian life? We got to learn to love God's family. You want to feel it like you're being rewarded in your Christian walk, that it's just, I'm just in a life-giving place. This point, it is imperative. You know, many of us would know, many of us would agree that God is love. Would anyone agree with that? God is love. But God calls us to love him, but he also calls us to love his family. Matthew 22, 39 to 40. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, these two commandments, this is the Christian life. This is the Christian life. Loving God and loving our neighbors, loving others. See, God puts us in a family. Who believes that God puts us in family? Praise God for that he puts us in family. He doesn't leave us isolated. He puts us with other believers who are part of his bride, the church. And we have to learn to love his family. It's something we have to choose to learn to do. You know, maybe your understanding of family is something a little bit more fractured. And so when you come into the body of Christ, if you're applying that same view to the body of Christ, to the family of God, it's a given that relationships are going to feel tension and stress and challenge. We need to get past that. We need to understand how is a family meant to work? What's a family meant to look like? And I'll delve into this a little bit later. But see, when families struggle to get along, one of the first things that happen is this. Individuals avoid each other when families struggle to get along. And the truth is that we only grow in our love for our family members, in our connectedness, when we sit through those things with each other. We talk those things through. That's when we begin to grow to love the people around us in our family. If we isolate, if we avoid, it perpetuates the disconnection. It perpetuates the isolation. But that's not what God's called us to. He's called us to people who learn to love each other, to talk through the moments. One of the other things that he calls us to do, and this is just to really push this point this morning, Hebrews 10:25 says this, "Don't stop meeting together with other believers, which some people have gotten to the habit of doing. Instead, encourage each other, especially as you see the day drawing near." I want to encourage, and you know, obviously people have potentially misused this scripture over time, but I want to encourage you, when we come together, we're in the habit of coming together and spending time together as God's family. We're in the habit of coming together and worshiping. You know, it's really easy to get offended. Who would agree with it's really easy to get offended? I mean, I may have offended you when I opened my mouth this morning. Who knows, it's really, really easy to get offended when you're driving. I'm not looking at anybody this morning. I'm looking at myself. It's really easy in this world to get offended. In fact, popular culture would say that it is your right. It is your right to be offended. I don't know about you, but when you live with offense in your heart, it makes it really difficult to have joy. It makes it really difficult to have peace. It makes it really difficult to have connected, life-giving relationships. Will you be offended? Absolutely. But what you do with it, that's what matters. Are you going to sit down with the person? You might say to them, "I forgive you." And they're like, "For what?" So, "Oh, you offended me." Now, in a healthy family, the family of God, individuals won't be like, "Well, that's it then. We're not going to be friends anymore." No, no. In a healthy family, it's like, "I'm really sorry if I offended you. I didn't want to do that. I wasn't motivated to do that. I'm a child of God. I'm learning just like you. How about we have our relationship strengthened on the other side of this?" Scary conversations if you haven't had them before. But I tell you what, the joy that comes from it when you push through it, amen? There's individuals in this place. I know you've had conversations with each other and your relationships are stronger because of it. Amen? You may be sitting here today and you haven't yet had those conversations with someone from the body of Christ. What's God calling you to do to actually see that thing broken and beaten once and for all so that you can have strong, life-giving relationships? I want to encourage you, don't draw back. Don't isolate. Meet together. Encourage each other. I want to encourage you today that perhaps there's a mismatch between the way that you love God and the way that you love yourself. I think if we're all to be honest, there are moments in our lives where that's been a real thing for us. When we first come out of the world, we get saved. We love God with every part of our hearts, but we look at ourselves and we potentially carry guilt and shame and condemnation. God hasn't called you to carry guilt and shame and condemnation. Jesus took it at the cross. Yes, the memories will still be there, but can I encourage you, be renewed, be transformed on a daily basis to look more like Jesus. You don't need to look at yourself with disgust or shame or guilt. Amen? The devil will do that for you. Don't do his job. Don't do his job. You need to look at yourself with the eyes of Christ, that you are saved, redeemed, you're sanctified, you're being transformed every day. Amen? It's the truth for your life. It's the truth. This is something that we have to grow through. Now, if you struggle to love yourselves because you don't love you, let's do something about it. Don't just stay there in that place. Let's do something about it. What could you do to make a decision to change this? What new direction could you take? Could you speak to someone about it? Could you start praying? Could you start exercising new behaviors and decisions? Could you book a pastoral appointment? Could you respond to an altar call? You have the power to make right decisions around this. You're not powerless in this. You've got the power of Christ in you. I understand that it's new things like this are challenging and it feels hard and it feels impossible, but the truth is you've got the power of God in you. So this second key for living a full and active Christian life, learn to love God's family and fellowship together. You do that and watch what happens with your thriving of your life. You know, this is an all-time favorite verse for our church, Acts 2, starting at verse 42. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. A sense of awe came over everyone. God performed many wonders and signs through the apostles. All the believers were united and shared everything. They would sell pieces of property and possessions to distribute the proceeds to everyone who needed them. Every day they met together in the temple and ate in their homes. They shared food with gladness and simplicity. This sounds to me like a family who loved each other. Not family by birth, not family by blood, family by the blood of Jesus, amen? This is what God's called us to be. One last scripture around this. Colossians 3, verse 14 says this, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. There's lots of scriptures I could have used around unity. But this scripture here, put on love. Put on love, which binds them all together with perfect unity. You want perfect unity in the family of God? Let's put on God's love. Amen. Amen. Number three, third key to living a full and active Christian life is to grow in spiritual maturity. Does it sound exciting? Am I excited by growing in spiritual maturity? You know, who would agree this morning that we are called to grow and become more like Jesus? Oh, that it's God's heart for us. It's his desire to be more and more like his son, Jesus. And so we acknowledge that salvation is the entryway to discipleship. Salvation is the entryway to spirituality in God. And in Hebrews, we're encouraged to be diligent and learn all the ways of Jesus. This is what it says in Hebrews 6, verse 1. So let us stop going over basic teaching about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. Now, 100%, it is important when we first get saved that we should learn the basics of our faith, the basics of our Christianity. If you've never had the opportunity to learn all the basics, we would love to help you with that. You may have been a Christian some time, but you've never had the opportunity to learn the basics. We believe in it so much, we've actually put a booklet together. And you might have been a Christian once, like, I feel silly taking that. No. Don't worry about that. Let's grow in our spirituality. And so if you want this is your guide to following Jesus, all of the basic fundamentals of following Jesus. And if you haven't received something like this before, come and have a chat to me afterwards. We'll give you a booklet. We'll send you the PDF, whatever works better for you. And we want to see all of us grow in our spirituality. You know that passage of scripture that says there, surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. What that means is when we come back to God and we, particularly if you look at a Sunday service, we keep putting a hand up for salvation. You put your hand up for salvation, you pray that prayer, making Jesus the Lord of your life. You are saved. You are saved. You are His. He is yours. You don't need to keep putting your hand up because you've done something wrong during the week. Who in this place does stuff wrong during the week? I love an honest church. Do we want to do it? No. No, we don't want to do it. We don't need to wait to Sunday to come back to God. And it's like, oh God, my heart, I walked the other way. So we have a quick prayer with the Lord. It's like, God, my heart's repentant. I turn back to you, everything you've got for me. Your life has not finished because you did something wrong during the week. Your calling is not over. Your salvation doesn't disappear because you did something wrong during the week. God loves you. He's a good Father who wants to bring you close. Don't isolate yourself from Him. It's part of our discipleship journey. It's to grow in the body of Christ as you make friends, as you perhaps get married, as you take on the responsibilities that He has for you. Growing in our spiritual maturity allows us to take leaps and bounds into what He's called us to do. Amen? So that third key for living a full active Christian life is to grow in our spiritual maturity and be in discipleship. Now, you might think to yourself, what is being discipleship? Is there a course for that? I mean, there are courses for that, but it's much more simple than that. Much more simple. Some ways to be in discipleship. There's probably 100 more that I could list, but here's some simple ways to be in discipleship. Attend church. Be in a small group. Attend a discipleship meeting if there is one. Serve and come to serving team rallies. Pray with friends. Seek wise counsel from seasoned Christians who have also grown in their spiritual maturity. Just some simple, simple ways to begin your discipleship journey. Fourth key this morning to living a full and active Christian life. Learn to contribute to the kingdom of God. Learn to... lovely that Bevan stole my thunder with this point this morning. 1 Peter 4 verse 10 says this, God has given each of you some special abilities, so be sure to use them to help each other, passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings. Each of us, every single one of us in this place, God has given you special abilities, special giftings. They may be things that you use on a Sunday. They may be things that you use on a Monday in your workplace. Each of us have giftings, God-given giftings. You know, sometimes we can get caught in the trap of looking at other people's special giftings and think their gifting is so much better than mine. Can I encourage you? God has given you your special ability and gifting. God has given it to you. It's not less important than somebody else's. It's just different. It's just different. And it's integral to the body of Christ that you share your giftings. It's integral. What does it say in this passage of scripture here? be sure to use them to help each other. To help each other. What you have is going to help somebody else in the body of Christ. What you have is going to encourage somebody else in the body of Christ. Each of us has these God-given gifts, spiritual gifts. And has God given them to keep us to ourselves? No. Has God given us to make ourselves look good? No. God gives us these gifts to help others. Given to us to bless the bride of Christ, amen. To encourage and bring freedom for each other. See, when we do this, when we share our gifts, our spiritual gifts, special abilities, when we do this, we minister God's gifts to others. You know, this morning, people have used their gifts, their spiritual gifts, their God-given abilities. You've welcomed each other. You've used your voices as instruments. There's a team up here using their instruments and their voices. You've shown the love and care for the family of God. After the service, you may make coffee. Maybe you helped somebody get to church today. What an amazing ministry to help someone get to church. Amen. What an amazing ministry. See, this morning you've used these gifts. See, we give back to the body of Christ when we minister our gifts and help each other. It's a thing of beauty. See, when we do that, inevitably, if the rest of the body is using their gifts as well, as we serve others, we get served also. How good is it? It's a thing of beauty. You know, have you ever asked yourself this question that I'm about to ask you? This question is, what can I offer the Lord for all he has done for me? It sounds like a question, doesn't it? It's actually a scripture. Psalm 116, verse 12. What can I offer the Lord for all he has done for me? This is King David pondering. And so what can I offer the Lord for all he has done for me? And I want to encourage you today. Ponder the question. Pause long enough. What can I do? What can I offer God for all of the blessing he has poured out in my life? What could you bless others with? You might look at what you've got. Oh, it's insignificant. It's not going to help anyone. I guarantee you that you're going to come across people in the church and outside of the church that your gifting is going to bless others with. See, this is an example of offering and contributing back by serving others. It's not just a good idea, it's a Jesus idea. Mark 10, verse 45 says this, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." See, Jesus exemplifies the cause that he was sent for, to serve others. See, what I love about the church is that in serving others, we get served also. In a popular culture, who loves pop culture? Me neither. Popular culture says this, that when you've made so much money, you can afford to pay other people to do the menial tasks. It's the way the world works. It's like, if I can just earn a bit more money, I could pay somebody else to do the stuff that it's just really boring and frustrating. So generally what it means is I've made enough money to outsource the boring parts of my life to others. However, this can go horribly wrong if the goal was simply to do nothing anymore. Because we're called to be active as followers of Christ. We're not called to outsource the boring parts of our lives. We're not called to outsource the hard bits. See, God has given us time. We don't know how much time we've got, but God has given us time. Each one of us, we've been given time. This time is the present time that we all exist in, that he's given us. And I want to encourage you today, use the time that you have with wisdom and stewardship. Don't let another day go past. Don't let another year go past. Use with wisdom and stewardship the time that is given you. With your work, use it well. Don't wake up every Monday morning and be like, if I could just get through the week. No, what has God called you to do in your workplace? The people in your workplace need you there. You've been put there for a reason. They need you. You're like, oh, I'm just like inputting data. Anyone ever inputted data before in a job? Whew, funnest job in the world. I can still input data from my keyboard today because I just got so good at 12 months of don't even need to look at the keys. But that job wasn't just about data. It was about being a beacon of light in the workplace that God had called me to. God has called you in your workplace, in your care for your family, in the stewardship of his blessings. I want to encourage you, if you want to use God's time well, take a Sabbath day. Have a rest. It was good enough for God. On the seventh day, it was good enough for God, amen. It should be good enough for us too. I want to encourage you, give back by offering God your service. So that fourth key, contribute to the kingdom by ministering gifts to others. And our last one today, how are we going for time? We're almost there. That's why I said four or five, depending on what the time was going to be. Our fifth one, our last one today. The last key of a life-giving, full, active Christian life is to learn to tell others about God's love. Imperative. Yeah, I think the longer we're Christians, the more it's like, oh, I'm just so in love with God. God loves me. But let me tell you, there are some people in your world who need to hear of God's love too. May our hearts burn like our hearts burned on the day of salvation. On the day of salvation, we couldn't help but tell everybody what God had done in our lives. John 18:37 says this. This is Jesus before Pontius Pilate. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I'm a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." See, Jesus was sent by God for a specific cause, and his life bore witness to the truth. And Jesus lets us know this in the scriptures. John 14:6, Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He is the truth. And the cause he came for was to lead us back, to lead all humanity back to the Father. Amen. It's his heart. He is the truth. That we may know him, that we may have forgiveness of sins, to be sons and daughters of God. See, this cause is no longer just his cause. It's now become the cause of every believer and follower of God. It's become all of our causes. What a precious responsibility we all have to steward this cause, the cause of Christ. See, where does God pass on this cause of revealing truth and Jesus to the world? We sharing God's love. Where does he ask us to bear witness to the truth? You know, we could simply go to the Great Commission. It's just a really easy place just to, let's go to the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations." But I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians 5:18 today. This is what it says. All this is from God. All this is from God. He brought us back to himself through Christ's death on the cross, and he has given us the task of bringing others back to him through Christ. Come on. His cause became our cause. He has given us the task of bringing others back to him through Christ, pointing people to God, letting others know of God's love for them. So we have this brief moment in time on earth We also have brief moments of time with people. There's windows in a workplace. You might have this window of time where you meet someone and they need to know the love of God. There's windows when we're involved in a community group and someone needs to hear the love of God. There's windows when you're in a year level at school. You don't know if that fellow student's going to be there next year. There's windows in university if you've got your 3 or 4 years, or 18 years if you decide to become a doctor. There's these brief windows of time that God gives us to share God's love and show others God's love, to bring others back to God through Christ. It's done by witnessing to others of God's goodness and God's love. He sent Jesus into the world because he loved all humanity. Now, 2 Corinthians 6 verse 1 says this. You may not have heard this scripture before. You may have read it. As God's partners in our work together with God, then we beg you who have received God's grace not to let it be wasted. Don't let it be wasted. I want to encourage you, don't waste the moments that you have with people who don't know him. Don't let the grace that God has given you be wasted. Don't let it just sit there and not be used. Use it to share the hope of God with the people in your world. It's like, oh, they're not going to listen. You don't know that. Oh, they're not. I've tried before. They haven't listened. I guarantee you they've listened. They just haven't been ready to respond. Sow the seeds. Water the seeds. Maybe they don't get saved on your watch, but you've done what God asked you to do, to share the love of God with others. Don't waste the time. Don't let it be wasted. May our lives, our words, our deeds be a witness of God's goodness that's available through Jesus. And so I asked the question, who could you be a witness to? You know, this week I had the opportunity to talk to someone. And they were in a challenging place. And I could have just watered down what I was going to say. Could have just made it real simple and not broached the conversation. But in light of these scriptures, my heart is just moved with compassion. And so I didn't miss the opportunity. I didn't let that moment be wasted. Am I saying that to build myself up? No, I want to let you know that it's a challenge for all of us and we have to step into it. We can't let the moment... This may be the only time that this individual would hear that God loves them. That God loves them and wants the very best for them. So this fifth key to living a full and active Christian life. Learn to tell others of God's love by witnessing. Share the truth and the hope of Jesus. You know, for those of you who feel, I just feel inadequate to do that. I love this passage of scripture. Acts 1 verse 8. Familiar to many of you. But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. We don't do it in our own strength. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that empowers us to share the love of God with others, to share the hope of Jesus, the good news, to let others know that God loved them so much that he sent Jesus. Jesus walked the earth without sin, without blemish, was sent to the cross, was buried, rose again on the third day for the forgiveness of the sins of the world, and all who would call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. Amen? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And it goes on to say, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Wherever God has called you to minister the goodness of God, do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Wherever God has called you to witness, do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. So I say this, be encouraged and challenged that when we receive power, it's to be a witness. It's not just for receiving power's sake. It's not just for receiving the Holy Spirit's. It's like, oh, I got the Holy Spirit. How good is that? It felt so good. No, it's for purpose. It's to witness. It's to be a good witness of Jesus, not just with our words, with our deeds, the way that we carry ourselves, the way that we look after our relationships, the way that we love our family. Five simple yet trustworthy biblical keys for living a full and active Christian life. Make God Lord of your life and worship Him with your life. Learn to love God's family and fellowship together. Grow in spiritual maturity and be in discipleship. Contribute to the kingdom by ministering gifts to others. Learn to tell others of God's love by witnessing. See, living these practices out, they only begin when we have the opportunity to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Amen. You can't do these things unless Jesus is the Lord of your life. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And so I say this to the room, I say this to anybody who's watching online. God loves you. God loves you. Sent His Son to the world for you. Went to the cross, the grave, rose again on the third day for you. Why? Because He loves you. And He wants to welcome you home, the son and daughter of the Most High God. You know, as we come towards the end this morning, I want to encourage you, if you don't know Jesus personally, this is a moment to respond to Him, to call on the name of the Lord, be saved. Maybe we just close our eyes for just a brief moment. You know, if you're a Christian, just quietly pray this morning. You know, God's doing a work in people's hearts, calling people back to relationship with Him, believing that prodigals will come home, believing that those who have never known Him will find Him today. And if you don't know Jesus personally, maybe you've been sold a lie to say that God doesn't love. How could God love me? Maybe it's because of what people have said to you. Maybe it's because of what you've seen in society. But I'm here to tell you different today. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. It's not about the good things you've done or the bad things you've done. God loves you, wants to forgive you of your sin, wants you to be restored into relationship with Him, wants to give you a life abundant, wants to give you back what the enemy has stolen from your life. So if you don't know Him today, in a moment I'm going to ask you to put up your hand and say, I want that life. I want forgiveness of sins. I want freedom. I want Jesus in my life. I want Him to be Lord of my life. So on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up. Once you've put it up, you can put it back down. And then we're going to pray a prayer. On the count of three. One, two, three. If there's anyone, yes, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else say, yeah, that's me? Don't let this moment pass you by. You've tried to do it your way. It's only led to chaos, catastrophe, no peace in your life. Let me tell you, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. When you receive Jesus for the first time in your life, you will receive peace in your heart. Does it mean that life doesn't have challenges? Of course, life has challenges still, but you got the peace of God dwelling in you. One more time. Anyone else? Pop your hand up, put it back down. All right, just with our eyes closed, we're going to pray a prayer this morning. This is a prayer of accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. This is us calling on the name of the Lord. Church, why don't you join me in praying also, nice and loud. Dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus. I believe in my heart, God, you raised him. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I repent of my sin and I turn to you. From this day on, I choose to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.